And all right, 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. I want to speak tonight on the subject, don't fence me in. All right? Let's pray now. Our Father, thank you for the clarity of thy word. And we pray this evening that you'd move in our hearts, help us to see how much you love us and care for us by the interest that you pay to us, not only in saving us, but our Father, building fences around our lives. Help us to respect those fences. Help us to trust you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now this verse, whosoever committed sin, the word sin there means to miss the mark. That's the most frequently used word for sin. When we sin, but we miss the mark. That's a principle in each of our lives, and then it manifests itself in many other ways. There are 16, 17 words in the Bible that describe sin. Sin is so varied that it takes that many words to describe what this thing called sin is in its various forms. I'm not going to preach 116 words tonight. I'm going to deal with one word very briefly. But here it says, whosoever committed sin transgresseth also the law, for sin, missing the mark, shows itself in the transgression of the law. Sin is a transgression of the law. The word transgression means to rebel, and actually, in our terminology, it would mean to jump the fence, to go beyond. You trespass, and God builds a line, God builds a fence, and he says, no trespassing. And we climb the fence, and I want to speak on that tonight. There's a song, and it'd be my generation. I don't think it'd be with some of the younger generation, but the song goes like this. Just turn me loose, let me wander over yonder, underneath the western skies on my coast. Let me straddle my old saddle till I see the mountains rise. I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences, gaze at the moon till I lose my senses. I can't stand cobbles, and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in. Give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze. Listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you, please, don't fence me in. Now, that's written by a cowboy out on the prairies. And he just didn't like fences, and he wanted wide open country. Now, that's all right for a cowboy, and that's all right for the prairies, but that won't do for living. And yet, that's the theme of today's society. Don't fence me in. No rules, no laws, no restrictions, no boundaries. Don't hem me up. Let me have absolute freedom. And if God did that, you would be in the most serious trouble that you've ever been in all your life. And God loves us too much to allow a society like that. And yet, this society is moving toward that. And then God will intervene. Now, let's very quickly, very briefly, consider some of God's fences for our preservation. I'll just name these. Now, years ago when I came to Lakeland, my girls were all home. They were there. I have four girls, and they're all in the service tonight, and one son. And I built a fence around my backyard to keep the peeping toms away from my house. It was for the preservation of the privacy of my girls. That's protection. And then Joel came along, and that fence was supposed to protect him from getting in the streets. And I found out his little shoes fit exactly in the fence, and it was just like a ladder. He'd walked out in the yard, and the fence hadn't been up just a little bit, and he's sitting right straddle the top, singing, "Don't fence me in." Now, that fence is built to protect life and to protect privacy. That's the reason it was there. Now, God builds fences around us. He said of Job, the devil said concerning Job, said, you built a hedge about it. That's a fence. And the devil knows that God built a fence about us, and he tries to get us to climb the fence. And when we climb the fence, then we're in trouble. God loves us. God may have had a fence around himself, his holiness, and the devil, Lucifer, son of the morning, decided to climb. He decided to climb. I majored in English. A backslid. He climbed the fence, and he became the devil. He came to the Garden of Eden, and there was a fence around one tree. All the trees in the garden now may freely eat. No fences, no restrictions. Can you imagine living in one place and there's only just one restriction? And the thousands of trees are there with all of their fruits, and God said, every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but a tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat thereof, for in the day you eat thereof you shall surely die. One restriction. And the devil said, now God's got no business building the fence around anything. And he said to Adam and Eve, don't fence me in. You have no right being fenced in. And so Adam and Eve looked over the fence, and he saw the tree looked good for food and pleasant to the eyes. The tree desired to be make one wise. And I think Irma Bombeck said, the grass on the neighbor's septic tank is always greener. And so he climbed the fence. And when he climbed the fence, ever since then, there's been a generation of fence climbers. And the theme of man born into this world is the parents and the God, don't fence me in. I care not how many privileges I have. I hate these rules and restrictions. I don't like them. Now, that just doesn't pertain just to young people. That's mom and pop and grandpa. I mean, that's everybody. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. God builds fences. When they were going to build the Tower of Babel, God built a fence. He broke up their party and confused their tongues, and that was preservation of society. He placed oceans between the continents, and that was a preservation of society. He gave us human government, and it has laws and rules and restrictions, and that's for the preservation of society. These little lights that hang over the street, and there's a green and a caution and a red, that's for protection of life. That's the preservation of society. You go to school, there are rules and regulations. The public schools about lost them all, and that's the reason we no longer have education in the public schools. Why? Because of the fact we don't want to be fenced in, no rules, no regulations. We want to do our own thing. And they go to school to learn to riot and learn, listen, to dope and sex. And it's wrecked the public schools because they cried, don't fence us in. And the textbooks, it advocate absolute liberty and freedom, don't fence us in. And employment. Everybody here has some fences around them. There's nobody here tonight that doesn't have God-given fences around them. You go to a job and there are fences. You go to school and there are fences. You go to buy a gallon of gas and there's the fences that tell how much a gallon of gas is. There are locks on doors and there are fences of the scriptures and fences of law and fences of home. In Exodus chapter 20, God put a fence around the person of God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Don't climb that fence. God put a fence around his name. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That's for your protection. God has put a fence around the home. Honor thy father and thy mother that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That's rules. That's restriction. God's placed fences around marriage life. Thou shalt not commit adultery. God's placed a fence around human life. Thou shalt not kill. God's put a fence around private property. Thou shalt not steal. God's put a fence around the character of individuals. Thou shalt not bear false witness. God put a fence around attitudes. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house and so on. And God builds fences. Now, those fences are for our good. Those fences. He's built a fence around what God wants us to know, and it's all there. Now, Saul was not satisfied with the revelation of God, so he turned to witchcraft, and he got himself into serious trouble. And there are those who do not like to be hemmed in with the Word of God, so we want some extra revelation, and it turned to Satanism and witchcraft, and you really find yourself in difficulty. And so God builds fences. Now, parents' fences. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Here's some fences. And the first fence that God builds around the home, he says, young people, you obey your parents and the Lord, this is right. Honor thy father, thy mother. For this is the first commandment with promise, that thy days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And the first fence that parents build around their children is concerning who you run with. Look at Proverbs 1. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, if you're wise, then you listen to this. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace under thy head, and chains about thy neck. Now, the first command that he gives to young people come down here and say, I want to dedicate my life. I say, okay, go home and obey mom and pop. Go home and be submissive. Go home and honor your parents. That's how you rededicate your life. That's where it starts. And if it doesn't work there, it's a phony. If you're not honoring your parents at home and obedient to your parents at home, my friend, all the knocking on doors and putting your tithe in the offering plate and singing in the choir, it's all phony. It starts in the home. 1 Timothy chapter 5, let them learn to begin to show piety at home. That's where it works. If it doesn't work there, it doesn't work. Now, look at the first thing that parents want to talk about. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. People say, I got in the wrong crowd, but you could say no. Is that right? They didn't hogtie you. My son, and they will entice you. My son, if sinners entice thee, and here are parents trying to build a fence of protection around their young people, because you see, the most important thing in the life of young people is a crowd that they run with. They will sacrifice purity. They will fail in school. They will rob. They will take dope. They'll do anything in the world to be accepted in their peers. And consequently, you better be careful who you run with, because a crowd determines what you do and not you yourself. That's sad, but that's true. And so Dad and Mom called me and said, now, son, I want to tell you something now. You're going to go out in the world. Somebody's going to ask you to smoke cigarettes, and some are going to ask you to, hey, some of you wrote questions, what's wrong with snuff?
Well, that in itself is what's wrong with it. It improves your looks, helps you to talk better, makes your breath smell fresh, preserves your teeth, don't have to brush your teeth anymore.
You know what's wrong with that. Because you saw Dallas Cowboy, a guy was, said, I chew skulls. Well, brown mule's just as good. That's right. Some of you are not laughing. You better laugh. I know a dear old lady. She was a sweet lady. But she always put that snuff in her mouth to sweeten her mouth. Said, I take that dirty taste out of my mouth. I have woke up some mornings and I believe it'd be a change. All right, young people, what's it say? My son, if sinners entice thee, if they consent thou not, if they say, hey, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privately for the innocent and without cause, let us swallow them up alive as a grave and whole as those that go down into the pit, we shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil, cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse, my son, walk not thou in a way with them, refrain thy foot from their path. Now, son said, when they ask you to chew, and they ask you to drink, and they ask you to use the needle, and they ask you to listen to rock music, and then they ask you, to be wild, and they ask you to be loose in your morals, stand up and say, absolutely no! Sad we don't have folks who can say no. We always pray to hurting somebody's feelings. Daniel could say no. The Hebrew children could say no. Esther could say no. Joseph could say no. And listen, the greatest thing you'll learn in your life is to be able to look the crowd in the face and say, no. Now, Dad said, now, son, now watch, if your attitude's not right, you won't listen to Dad, and you'll climb the fence. And you'll get into a crowd that'll wreck and ruin your life, I mean, for time in the judgment seat of Christ if you're saved. And so if God says, obey your parents, and your parents call you in, and the first thing that they tell you now is about your crowd that you run with. Now, son, would you listen to this man right here? Your daddy knows more about and discerns more about the crowd that you run with than you know. Mom and dad know more, and the boy or the girl, and they say, hey, that's not for you. Well, I don't see. Yeah, I know you don't see, but God gave your parents something you don't have. And when you're going from junior high, junior boy, junior department, and going through those years of adolescence and you're topsy-turvy, you better trust mama and dad their decisions, and you better not trust the adolescent crowd to make your decisions. And there's nobody loves you better than your parents. And they're not trying to be funny, and they're not trying to be odd. They're trying to protect you, and they'd mortgage your home. They'd lay down their life. You are their jewels, and everything in the world they'd steal in order that you turn out right and you be spared the scars of sin. Listen, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Now that's a hedge God's built around, and God's given you parents, and parents build fences around. Then, number three, here's some fence climbers, and then I want to get to the price of fence climbing in just a minute. Fence climbers, rebellion. I was preaching against gambling, and a man up at the post office in another place where I was pastoring, he said, well, I'll go to that card party if I go to hell. Now, that's real intelligent. I'll climb that fence, and I'm going to do it. Don't make any difference what the preacher says. I'll go to that card party if I go to hell. And actually, that's what transgression is. I'm going to climb the fence. I don't care if God put it there. I don't care if Pop put it there. I don't care if the preacher put it there. I don't care if the school put it there. I care not if the government put it there. I'm not going to be him then. I'm going to climb any fence that you put in my way. I was pastoring another place, and I was preaching a search against some particular sins, and this woman said, I'll marry that man if I die and go to hell for it. I want to tell you, that's a high price to pay for marriage. It's a high price to pay for a deck of cards to say, I'll do this if I go to hell. I read the other day of a young man who said, I'm going to take LSD if it splits every chromosome that I have. I care not if my children are born deformed. I care not if they're armless and legless and brainless. I don't care. I'm going to crawl over the fence up to LSD, and you can't build a fence around it. I'm going to have it. That's rebellion. That's climbing the fence. Well, total freedom. The prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 thought he really had rough down at his house. Tired of these restrictions. Tired, make up your bed in the morning. Tired of this business, clean up the bathroom. Tired of hanging up your clothes. Tired of coming to the table cleaned up. I'm tired of being in at such and such time. I'm tired of telling me who I can run with. And he said, give me all that's coming to me. And he headed off to the hog pen. He didn't think he was going to the hog pen. But he headed off to the far country. He was going to a country where there are no rules and regulations, and there is no place on God's earth where there are no rules and regulations. There's a lot of them headed off because I'm going to have my freedom, and they're sitting behind bars tonight, really restricted. I mean, really enjoying liberty.
I mean, that's living.
I'm here because I'm free.
You're a little retarded. Just a little.
Freedom. It'll end with a man of sin who's a lawless one. Every man doing that which is right in his own eyes. Now, I said all that to say this to get to here. There's a price to pay for climbing fences. There's a price to pay for climbing fences. Now let's look at Proverbs 29, verse 22, and we'll see that the fence climber is an angry person. He's mad at rules. And I'm going to get out of here. And I'm leaving home. And I just want to get away from all these rules and restrictions. Write it down, sonny boy. It's different than you think it is. I got surprise, 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 surprise. Proverbs 29, look what it says. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgressions. That word transgression is that word rebellion, which means to jump the fence, to go beyond. What is a furious man? He's angry. He's mad inside, and he breaks every rule that you give him. Breakthrough, climbs fences. What's wrong with him? He's a rebel on the inside. And he sings a song, "Don't fence me in." Now, what's the price to pay? Okay, let's look at several of the prices now. Turn to Proverbs 13 and verse 15. People said, "I want my freedom so I can live easy." Oh, is that right? Well, you better stay home. Proverbs 13 and verse 15. The latter part of the verse says, "The way of the transgressors is hard. The way of the fence climber is hard. The way of the trespasser is hard. The way of the rebel is hard." Now, the devil's told you it's easy. Just climb all the fences. Don't allow anybody to put a fence on you. Don't allow anybody to build any obstruction. Don't allow anybody to give any rules and so forth. Climb over all of them. That's really living. God's word said the way of the fence climber, the way of the rebel, the way of the trespasser is hard. Okay, how is it hard? Well, let's look at it. First of all, turn to the book of Psalm 51 and 32. And then I want to turn to 2 Samuel. And I want to tell you, this is really living. Here's a man after God's own heart that decided he'd climb a fence one day. The 51st Psalm, he describes that, and you have the misery of his soul. And he pleads for mercy. Psalm 51, verse 1, three words he uses. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy love and kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." And that word transgression is a word to rebel, rebellion, to go beyond, to trespass. He said, "God, I climbed a fence. Blot out my rebellions. Blot out my trespassing, my transgressions." The next verse, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity." And the word iniquity means my crookedness. Oh, how crooked David became to cover up his sin. And then he goes on and said, "Cleanse me from my sin." And that word sin is, I missed the mark. Now, but transgression. Look at the 32nd Psalm, verse 1. "Blessed is he whose fence climbing is forgiven." Now, what did he do? He stood over one day. He should have been out at battle, and he woke up, slept in that day, and he woke up and he saw somebody else's wife. And there's a fence around that that David full well knew. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. That's two fences around that. And David what? David said, "I know that, but maybe I can get away with it." And he climbed the fence. He climbed the fence. Now turn to 2 Samuel and let's see the price that David paid for climbing the fence. He's thinking that everything's hunky-dory, and God sends a preacher down to his house, and the preacher tells him a little story, and David flies off the handle and said, the guy that did this, he shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold because they didn't have any mercy. And Nathan said, you're the man I'm talking about. Now watch what he says. Verse 10. Now here's a young people. You can climb the fence. You have the free will. You can climb any fence. You can climb the fences erected by parents. You can climb the fences erected by God. You can, and all of them erected by God. You can climb the fences erected by government. You can climb the rules in the school, the fences there, and everywhere say, I'm not going to be fenced in, and you can climb the fence, but I want to tell you, it costs you a whole lot more for climbing the fence than staying in the pasture. 2 Samuel 12:10, now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son, for thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said, I've sinned. Lord said, I put away your sin. Verse 14, howbeit by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And David had heartache and chaos. His one son murdered another brother and another brother, and murder and adultery and all of this hit the house of David. What happened?
David said, I'll climb the fence. And God said, okay, then I'll take the protection away from you. You want the fences down? Okay, God said, I'll remove all these protective fences that I put around you. And you're in trouble when God removes or protective fences because of the fact you do not want to be fenced in. Now let's look at another passage. 1 Timothy 1:9. Here's another price to pay for fence climbing. More fences. You don't understand that, do you? And if I went to your home tonight, 1 Timothy 1:9, let's read what it says, verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless. And that's the same word, the lawless. The fence climber. The rebel. The trespasser. Well, I had my yard open. No fence. The rest of the yard. Well, there folks drive trucks across my yard. They're on motorcycles across my yard. Neighborhood kids think that my yard's a place for them to meet out of there, and it's private property. They ought to know that it's private property. So what happens? I'm putting up a fence around it. Now you see, when you climb the fence, what happens? God doesn't tear the fence down. You just get more fences. And you're going to get caught in a barbed wire climbing fences. Young people, if I go to your house and there are rules galore, fences galore. That's in the Hebrew, means heap. That means a whole lot. If I go there and it's rule after rule after rule, you just told on yourself, you're a rebel. And every time you do something else, mom and dad have to come along and make another rule. And you do something else, and you ought to know better, and there's another rule, and another rule, and another rule. When I went to Tennessee Temple Schools, there's a little tiny rule book. Well, it looks like the World Encyclopedia now. Who made them? Students made them. Who made the rule to your house? Mom and Pop? No, sir. You did. You did. If you have to be hemmed in with fences everywhere you look, your parents are going to put a fence here and a fence 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 and a fence. Why, what is the law made? It's made for those who climb the fences, and God put a fence around us. And my friend, your parents will put one fence after another. Bunch of fence climbers, and we've got laws, the laws, the laws, the laws, and laws, and laws, and laws, and laws. And laws of fences don't change the nature of the fence climber, but it sure makes him in trouble. And tonight, you say, I can't do one thing in the world. My parents have me shackled. Well, stop being a rebel. That's all. Stop being a rebel. You are a rebel that have served notice on mama and daddy. I will not be confined to the fence of my yard. I'll climb the fence.
And so the misery of the way of the transgressor is hard. He's always climbing fences. Sometimes when you climb a fence, you get shot in the seat of your britches. And sometimes you climb the fence, you get hung up in the fence. Where the transgressors are. It's hard because of the chastening of God. It's hard because of added laws. It's hard because of the fact that there's no peace. Look at Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. And I can tell you how to get rules. I can tell you how to get rid of the rules at your home. I read this while ago. A furious man aboundeth in transgressions. Violence. Let's see. I got a passage here that I've overlooked about violence. Hold on. Let's see if I. Proverbs 13, verse 2. That's the verse I wanted. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. There's no peace. The transgressor, the fence climber, is always in trouble. He's in trouble at school. He's in trouble at home. He's in trouble in church. He's in trouble with the law. He's in trouble with everybody. He turns everywhere he looks. He's in trouble. What's the problem? It's not everybody else. You're a fence climber. And he wondered, oh, why? Everybody's against me. Nobody loves me. Everybody's against me. No, not everybody's against you. If you stay behind the fence that you're supposed to stay in, that God gave for your protection, everybody wouldn't be against you. And you think, well, got a chip on your shoulder. Nobody loves me. And so what the matter? What does it say? The soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. My inside. Here he gets roughed up everywhere he looks. Then Proverbs 29 and verse 6, Scripture says, in the transgression of an evil man, that transgression against a rebel, he climbs a fence, there's a snare, there's a trap. Now you get, the cost of it is the fact that you get trapped. Now that's how do you do that? Are you listening carefully? God builds a fence and said, now, son or daughter, be honest with me. And that's a fence to prevent falsehood. Now, here's what happens, and you're the one that pays the price when you climb the fence and will not be honest with your parents. You lie. And after a while, they've caught you in one lie after another. And since they've caught you in one lie after another, sometimes you accidentally tell the truth. But mama and daddy punish you because they still think you're lying, and you confuse mom and dad, and they don't know whether you're lying or telling the truth, and you get into difficulty when you're doing right because you've established a reputation that you climb the fence of veracity, you climb the fence of truth, and you lie. Now, who pays the price? You pay the price. Can't trust you. And mom and dad said, I don't know whether they're lying or whether they're telling the truth. And it shakes them up. They want to trust you. They want to have confidence in you. But you have listened, climbed the fence into lies and built your lies, your life on lies and excuses and lied and lied and lied. And it's your fault that mom and dad don't believe anything that you said. You convince them. Wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody accused you of something and you said, Mom and Dad, I did not do that. And wouldn't it be so wonderful if you'd established a rapport and established a reputation for telling the truth even where it hurt? Wouldn't it be wonderful if Mom and Dad would said, Son, daughter, I believe you because I have never caught you lying to me, and I'll trust you until I find out that you lie to me. And young people, if you're living by lying, you are paying a terrible price, and it'll follow you to your grave. There's something else that it does. A person who lies can't trust anybody else, because if I lie, then how do I know everybody else lies? and you've destroyed the very heart of society. You've destroyed the very heart of a home that's built on trust, and society and friendship is built on trust. And if you lie to mom and dad, you'll lie to anybody. And so what happens? Mom and dad don't believe you. And you don't believe other people when they're telling the truth because you're a liar. And you think that everybody else is a liar because you lie. And the way of the transgressor is hard. Man, a woman who steps out on her husband. Oh, do you know how it shows itself? They begin to accuse the other one of stepping out on them. Why? They know that they are immoral. They knew that they stepped out, and there, listen, it destroys confidence in the purity of their mate. And a man that constantly accuses his wife of being untrue, you're telling on yourself. You're telling on yourself. And what are you doing? You destroy that which you would like, and hear me, you can't live one way and expect everybody else, and your attitude will be toward other people the same way that you live. And if you want to trust people, then you better be trustworthy. The way of the transgressor is hard. The other day, somebody wrote in a magazine, I say, all this talk about sex and about homosexuality, let them have their fun and their pleasure. After all, it's pleasure and only pleasure. And if they get venereal disease, treat it like a disease and not like sin, because there's medicine to cure. But it's sure strange in the last year that herpes or the other name has come out, and they can't find a cure for all of this venereal disease that came from homosexuals. And they live and die with it. Why? They climb the fence. God put a law there, and I don't like God's laws, and I'm going to have a good time, and you climb the fence. But when you climb the fence, the way of the transgressor is hard. And I could go through every form and everything that young people are doing, and I dealt with it this morning, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to take drugs, and you can't stop me. No, sir. If you're bound and determined to get drugs, you can get them in a Christian school. Anywhere. You can get at Tennessee Temple, you can get at Bob Jones, you may not stay long, but you can get them at any school. If you're bound and determined to get the stuff, you can get it. Young man went to University of Florida. He climbed the fence about this matter of drugs. He had his liberty. The boy was from Lakeland. One day that had so blown his mind and so shattered his emotions that he got into a car and he wired the door shut. He was on the inside. He got inside and wired the door shut so he could not open them quickly. Rolled up the windows, left a note of apology to his parents, and said, I apologize, I'm sorry, but I can't endure, I can't live with this. Took a can of gasoline and poured it all over inside of the car and struck a match. Oh, that's all right. Yes, sir. You can climb the drug fence. You can climb all of that. But, my friend, there is a law of the harvest that you reap what you sow, and you reap more than you sow. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You can't mock God. You can't laugh at God. You don't break God's laws. They break you. And the guy, they said, okay, I like my alcohol. Have you ever come go with me and watch them have DTs? I think of a man now who lost his business, lost his health, lost his wealth, lost his family, lost his children. And if you want to climb the fence to alcoholic addiction, you climb it. But when you climb it, you pay the price. Nobody else can pay the price for you, but you pay the price. The way of the transgressor is hard. The way of the sex violator is hard. The way of the liar is hard. The way of the drug addict is hard. The way of the rebel is hard. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard. It's not easy. It's not easy. And
You see young people who copped out on life. They call themselves against the society, and they're the biggest hypocrites in society. I'm against the establishment. If you're against the establishment, don't stand out on the road and do this way. If you're against the establishment, don't sleep in somebody else's field. That belongs to them. You're the biggest hypocrite. Society's not a hypocrite. You're a sucker. And boy, are they really living. He's got a pack on his back. But the pack on his back is not nearly as large as a pack on his soul. And this young thing's along with him. And they slept out in the woods last night. And the night before, that's really living. Copped out on life, copped out on responsibility, and they'll cop out on each other after a while. Weigh the transgressor's heart. Go down to the rescue mission and answer questions. Hey, is sin easy? No. Go to the county jail, the city jail, the penitentiary. The way of the transgressor's hard. Go to the home where the boy or girl will not obey. The way of the transgressor's hard. It's hard. It's hard. Now let me close. Turn to Matthew 11 and I'm going to close very quickly. Man alive, I'll tell you, I've really hollered a lot in a few minutes. Matthew 11. I preach and get my exercise too. Saves me going to the spa. Have my sauna up here also. Preacher, young deacon, an old deacon years ago said, you're going to kill yourself. Well, still at it? Still at it? Matthew 11. Come unto me, all you that are laboring heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. All rest is something wonderful. Mind you go home tonight and lay down and, man, just turn loose. Go to sleep. You don't worry about the fact you lied to somebody. You don't have to remember the lie you told so you can tell another lie to cover up that lie. And then remember the lie you told before that to cover up that lie. You see, you get messed up. And after a while, you lie here and you lie there. And but if you just tell the truth, you don't ever have to remember what you said. You don't. When you go to bed at night, you don't have to worry about somebody's going to knock on your door, the police at you, because of the fact you climbed a fence somewhere and you stole something that didn't belong to you. You go to bed at night, you don't have to worry about the principal of the school calling the school teacher to tell about what happened at school. Why? Because you didn't do it at school. You didn't climb the fence. And I could go through every area of life and bless God to be able to lay down at night and go to sleep. Oh, you say, I sleep well. Wait a while. Wait a while. Now, what's the antidote for this fence-climbing business? And Jesus said unto him, take my yoke upon you. Oh, who in the world wants to put their neck in a yoke? That's what you're trying to get out of. Don't fence me in. Here you're going to put a yoke around my neck? Yes, sir, but it's a yoke of protection, and it's a yoke that brings blessing and rest and joy. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy. My burden is light. The way of the transgressor's heart. Young people, you go home and tell parents, I'm through being a rebel. I'm through climbing fences. Did you know what? Mom and Dad spend the rest of the night digging up the post holes. Not the post holes. Don't dig those up. Boy, that's deep. That's great preaching, ain't it? but they'll be out taking the post down and the fence down. And what? You're an adult now, and you don't have to be told everything under the sun. You know what's right and wrong, and it's sure a good feeling to be trusted. Just a nice, wonderful feeling. Nobody gonna beat me over the head. The fences are taken down. And you got liberty and freedom that you never knew before. And you get it the way the devil says you don't get it. The way you get freedom is climb fences. No, the way you get freedom is to stay in the place that God intended for you to stay. And when you give an attitude of submission, you will find that the backyard becomes bigger and bigger and larger, and privileges grow and grow and grow and grow. And you'll say, my, 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 what happened to my parents last night? Nothing. They'd have done that a long time ago. But they had to build fences around a rebel, and you have to build fences around a rebel. And a home that has few rules is a home that somebody has recognized God-given fences. And there's not strife, and there's not arguing, and lying, and quarreling, and violence. It's fellowship, and peace, and contentment, and happiness. Who are you going to believe, God or the devil? We used to have a mule called Daisy, and I'll guarantee you there's a Daisy here somewhere tonight. Good mule. Finally had to kill her, because she was so old. I mean, teeth all came out, you know, kind of like, I don't call no names. Couldn't eat her grub, and she's between 25 and 30 years old. Old Daisy would get a damning streak every now and then, and she'd jump anything came her way. And I ran her for miles in a Model A Ford. I mean, across the woods and everything else. And when she got a run out, she'd come back home, go in the lot. But she just had to jump a fence every now and then. You never knew when she was going to jump it. But she'd jump it. We had an old cow, a Jersey cow. And I rejoiced with joy unspeakable and full of glory when she caught her head in the fence and broke her neck. That cow in a 40-acre field, I'd go after her, and she'd run, and I'd run and run, and she'd hide from me and lay down in the clump of bushes. I mean, lay down and look out like this. I'd throw more rocks at that cow. I mean, I threw rocks and said some unkind things about that cow. Get her up to the cow lot, and she'd break away and go to the back of the field, and Mom would say, let her go. And I said, no, I won't let her go. I'm going to get her in if I die. And oh, I did. When she got her head caught in, watch, this isn't a very good way to milk a cow, but that was a wicked cow. And my brothers were kind and loving and tender. But I've seen my brother sew that cow down because, I mean, she just absolutely not going to milk her. And I've seen them hold her down and one milk her when she's laying flat on the ground. Now, they didn't get a whole lot of milk. But she was a rebel. She's a rebel. And there's some folks that everything that you do, you have to be forced to do it. You have to be manhandled. And you're a fence jumper, not a straddler. You're a fence jumper. You're a rebel. Why don't you lay down your rebellion tonight and go home? And listen, your parents, your parents' age would go back 10 or 12 years. Their parents here tonight that are emotional wrecks. Because there's always a hassle. And you'd turn the clock back on their age if you went home tonight and said, Mom and Dad, I've been a rebel, and I'm through being a rebel, and I'm going to be a submissive son and daughter, and I'm going to obey the fences, and I'm not going to try to climb the fences. I'm going to set out to please you. And young people, if you want to find happiness, I tell you how to find it very simply tonight. Go home and with all your heart try to make Mom and Dad happy, and I'll tell you, you'll find happiness.
But if you try to seek happiness, happiness, you tap happiness on the shoulder and said, hey, happiness, I want to meet you. And happiness said, bug off, I'm not interested in meeting you. Hey, happiness, I want to meet you. And happiness said, leave me alone, I'm not interested in meeting you. And you go home and try to act like a son or daughter ought to be and act like a respect and honor to your parents. And while you're doing what you ought to do, happiness will come up and tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, bud, I'd sure like to meet you. That simple.